B-Pod Studios.
Toucher and Rich, weekday morning, 6 to 10.
That was horribly uncomfortable.
Toucher and Rich, mornings.
It was all taken out of context.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
And finally, all voting members of the Academy have nominated the following films for Best Picture.
Ford versus Ferrari. Peter Chernin, Jen O'Topping, and James Mangold, producers.
The Irishman, Martin Scorsese, Robert De Niro, Jane Rosenthal, and Emma Tillinger-Koskoff, producers.
Jojo Rabbit, Carthew Neal, and Taika Waititi, producers.
Joker, Todd Phillips, Bradley Cooper, and Emma Tillinger-Koskoff, producers.
Little Women, Amy Pascal, producer.
Marriage Story, Noah Baumbach and David Heyman, producers.
1917, Sam Mendes, Pippa Harris, Jane Ann Tengren, and Callum McDougall, producers.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, David Heyman, Shannon McIntosh, and Quentin Tarantino, producers.
And Parasite, Kwak Shin-hye and Bong Joon-ho, producers.
Someone had a stomach issue during the Oscar nominations. Well, there's nothing I love more than a good old-fashioned giving millionaire celebrities awards, and that is what we have coming up with the Oscars.
You know the number one most nominated film, Fred, this year?
Joker! Which I saw on Friday night, and I thought was hysterical. And it just... I'm very uncomfortable with an actor throwing themselves into a role where they're supposed to be like
twisted,
like
Heath Ledger did it though, and it was excellent.
No, but it's not the same. Heath Ledger was like there was like a viciousness to him,
yeah,
that does not really exist in this one. Like Heath Ledger wasn't dancing and prancing around, and you know, he didn't lose 400 pounds to do the role.
See, I almost blame the director for that then, because I mean, Christopher Nolan is one of the best directors of our time, and he got Heath Ledger, and you got the dude who directed Road Trip to do Joker, and who you didn't like Road Trip. Stop thumbs upping that one.
Road Trip was fine. I just hate the lead character in it. And then there was that guy who like smoked weed all the time.
See, Todd Phillips directed The Hangover.
Breckenmeyer, I don't like.
Yeah. The first Hangover is a classic. And it was nearly impossible to ruin that movie as a franchise. Like, to me, like, you couldn't make a second or third one and have it be bad. Yet somehow Todd Phillips, the director of Joker, found a way to make the second and third Hangover just awful. So that was the only thing. Now, I've heard that this one's obviously way better than those other two movies. But maybe
Joker was, it didn't lose my attention. I'm not saying it's a bad film. I'm saying I found it like really funny.
Okay. All right. Well, I that's one that has been I can't believe I haven't seen it yet. This year.
And then they kind of sold out at the end.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing that. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood got 10 nominations. Irishman with 10. That 1917 movie looks just awesome.
I like The Irishman. A lot of people complaining about its length. I thought it deserved that.
Well, that's kind of like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. There are people saying, 3 hours. It flies by. Absolutely flies by. That movie Parasite looks really good. That's got 6 nominees. Marriage Story, which very intense movie with Kylo Ren. That 6 nominees and la 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 la. So there you go. Best Actor, you got Joaquin Phoenix for Joker.
I lost a lot of weight.
Mm-hmm. He's so creepy.
I'm dancing and twisting my body.
Kylo Ren for The Marriage Story. Leonardo DiCaprio for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Even though I think Brad Pitt was in it more than Leonardo DiCaprio. Antonio Banderas for Pain and Glory.
I love him.
I do love Antonio Banderas. I told you, Desperado's one of my all-time favorite movies.
Didn't he get super fat at one point?
No, you're thinking of somebody else.
Okay.
No, maybe thinking of Lorenzo Lamas. Yeah, but
Lorenzo Lamas is still a honk.
He is a honk. Jonathan Pryce for The Two Popes, and Best Director, Scorsese, Tarantino, Bong Joon-ho, who did Parasite, the guy, Todd Phillips up for Best Actor. How about that? Or Best Director, how about that? And Brad Pitt is indeed up for, well, this is a strong category. Best Actor in a Supporting Role, Brad Pitt for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. You got Al Pacino and Joe Pesci for The Irishman. I guess that they said no Robert De Niro for that. Anthony Hopkins and the two popes, but then Tom Hanks, Fred, for A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, the Mr. Rogers story, which I like Tom Hanks. If he wins that, we just all need to just pick it, because that's just the easiest role ever.
I don't get the nostalgia for Mr. Rogers. I don't understand it. That show sucked. He did a very good job at a Senate hearing to fund public television. And you can YouTube it, and he does a fantastic job. And there's no question he advocated for children. That show sucked. Mr. Rogers sucked.
Yeah, I mean...
And I find it very difficult to believe that there are a lot of people out there who, as children, liked Mr. Rogers.
No, I mean, because Lady Elaine kind of terrified me. His puppets were creepy.
It was boring as hell.
Yeah, I mean, especially when you had that coming after Sesame Street, which was legitimately great. Like, if you're a kid, you love Sesame Street.
3-2-1 Contact, where those Canadians were learning science all over the place. Was there a more Canadian show in the history of the world than 3-2-1 Contact?
Yes, you can't do that on television, on Nickelodeon.
Yes, that was very Canadian. But
Alistair and Alanis Morissette
and Moose.
She got the slime dumped on her.
How great is that they took a girl who is going through puberty, who is just slightly overweight, slightly, and they called her Moose.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of issues does she have now because of that?
Well, originally she was Fat Pig, and then they decided
to tone it down a little bit. Yeah. Let's just call her Moose.
Yeah, there was the girl named Moose, and then there was the honk. But I can't remember what his name
Alistair.
Was. Alistair. But yeah, there was that. But I don't know. I didn't like Mr. Rogers. I don't get what that was so great.
I think that people liked the idea of Mr. Rogers.
And he went to Rollins, which is my alma mater. And I still don't like him. Well, you want to hear something really, really funny?
Sure.
Okay. This is super funny. So I'm in the car.
Which is always how funny things are set up. Oh, someone telling you.
Oh, yeah. This is...
Be prepared to laugh.
Hang on to your hat. So I'm driving in the car. Coming back from my son's basketball game. It was like 25 miles. It was somewhere past where Wog lives. And it was like 25 miles away.
Hang on. Just get ready, okay?
Yeah.
Now your radio can have a laugh button.
We're about to hit that button right now.
So, Ryan Johnston is on the air with one of the those other guys, and
now I'm excited. All right, I know. Okay,
it's not good.
I know. I don't care.
So he tells this story about how his movie going experience. He saw Star Wars, and it was not a good experience, and that it was terrible. And then he says, "Oh, and at one point, the gentleman behind me took off his shoes." Okay. He took off his shoes, and there was an odor. So I decided to call in.
No, but it wasn't Fred Tutcher calling in.
No, it was Damon from New York. So, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, so Johnston is telling the story about a guy who took off his shoes, and his shoes were in his face.
Right.
You're going to be really disappointed. And so this is me calling in.
Tell me you did the voice. Tell me you went all in on this.
Damon from New York wants to talk about my movie-going experience. What's up, Damon?
Hello, I'm running errands to and fro, but I did pick up something about the feet. Could you please tell me where this is happening?
The AMC Theater in Tingsboro sounds like it's for you, D.A.
And there was something about, did you steal the shoe?
Always good to hear from our boy D.A. We don't hear from him enough these days.
An opportunity is just never be waiting. So they were right there. He described the size of the feet.
Perhaps if they were...
Was it skunkish? Did they step in popcorn?
Some nacho cheese, perhaps.
Ooh, delicious. Have you ever... Did you throw anything? Did you bring peanut butter?
Thank you, D.A.
You have to pay extra.
Yeah, yes, definitely extra for the added benefit of the odor.
Southborough, you say?
Tingsboro, D.A. Come on.
Tingsboro, okay. So let's get this straight. The Tingsboro shoes, off feet, smell. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you, D.A.
Thanks, D.A. Good to hear from you.
I mean, foot fetish D.A. will always be welcome on this show.
As an Italian.
My son actually, when he heard the feet thing, said, why don't you call him his D.A.?
Now, was it impossible to speak on the phone without doing your fingers?
Oh, no. I was doing the fingers. I was in the passenger seat, so I was doing the fingers the whole time.
For anyone who's never seen Fred do the D.A. foot fetish D.A. voice, he does this thing with his fingers where he just wiggles in the air and says, as if it, like somebody opened like a box of chocolates, like, which one shall I choose?
It seems you've removed your shoes. It's time to amscray. Give me two shoes, a rope, and a hanger.
Did they know it was Fred?
First of all, not to throw anyone in the bus, I had to call three times before I got through.
Okay. That's happened before.
No one answered phones. The call screener knew it was me, and then obviously they figured out pretty quickly that it was me. But there you go. He was talking about feet, and my son said, you should call in because they're talking about smelly feet. And I said, can do. All right, we will be back. We'll tell you how you can meet all the Red Sox in just a matter of moments. Five.
Toucher and Rich. You know, I just tell him, B, I says, I've come to grips. I'm okay if it doesn't happen. I've been so blessed. And I would just say this, for those eight candidates, every one of you deserve to be there. Football is a total team sport. I had some great players, some great coaches. The best organization in football. I've lived a blessed life. I've come to the best network on TV. It's a family here like it was a family that we had there. And to have to give back to something to the game of football, it's been a part of my life. The virtues that it teaches you, the morals that you have the obligation to move on, the platforms that we have. You know, I'm a blessed man.
Five, the sports hub, we're Toucher and Rich. That is Bill Cowher, who does not deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, but the Pro Football Hall of Fame is a joke. But first, let me tell you this, is that you have until 2 o'clock today to get involved with our Pucks and Paddles event. It's this Friday at the Royale. Here we go. It's the annual ping pong tournament that benefits the Floating Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center and the Boston Bruins Foundation. If you bid on a player, you can find this at 98.5thesportshub.com. You have until 2 o'clock. You will get the entire VIP experience. You will get autographs from the players. The ping pong tables are all very close together. You're in a VIP section. You will get to hang out with the players, take pictures with them. You will, there's a bar and everything else. Maybe John from Vegas will make fun of Sarge. But you can bid right now until 2 o'clock. Go to 985thesportshub.com to do so. Pucks and Paddles is branded by Coors Light and sponsored by Honda, ACP Facility Services, and Queer Path for Veterans of New England. Now, what's interesting is that Scott Zolak, who generally gives jabs at me if I've missed a show or something of that nature, has now actually gotten me something as he dismissed the idea of alcohol seltzer, the good people of Truly on Friday, due to my campaigned for them.
Support. You support.
Yeah, I supported them. It brought me a bunch of Truly. So eat it, Scott.
Well, Scott's going to be eating it enough this morning. He had a little bit of a hard time yesterday. It was a day where the internet unfortunately turned on him. And and to be quite honest, I don't know where his hatred for this person comes from. But if you watch that Chiefs-Texans game yesterday, what a wild first half. And, you know, it ended up being a blowout at the end. But right off the bat, Houston up 24-0. Everyone was dancing on the graves of the Chiefs. And, of course, then in the second quarter, Patrick Mahomes, 4 touchdowns right in a row, and it just didn't stop. As a matter of fact, the Chiefs scored so many touchdowns that they had to put a big sign up that said, "We have run out of fireworks, and we apologize." Because they would fire them off after every touchdown. They're like, "Sorry, we're completely out." And during that moment, during that time when it looked like the Texans were about to run away with it, Scott Zolak did get on Twitter and say some things that I just thought were kind of interesting. He put, "Hanging out with two Pats watching the game, rooting for Houston because Travis Kelce is such a pussy." And then after that, he was, obviously something happened to the game, but LOLOL, go Texans in capital. And he goes, "Fraud Kansas City with fraud tight end." Another tweet. And then, "Where is Kelce? Lots of flexing in pregame. Pussy, you ain't a tight end." And then another, "Let's go at Houston Texans." And then after that, he ended up tweeting, somebody said, "Are you drunk?" And he put, "LOL, have the flu, no alcohol." And his friend said, "That's a good point. If you have the flu, why are you sitting with some Patriots right now? I don't want to get them sick." He goes, "Have the flu, no alcohol."
I think that if you are, because there was another personality that always denied that they were drunk on Twitter, and I would argue that they often were. But there's nothing wrong with being drunk. I mean, if you're drunk and sitting at home,
sure.
Like, I mean, what the hell else are you supposed to be doing? You're watching a football game.
So he put, LOL, have the flu, no alcohol, just stressing what a pussy Kelce is. Reflected from all Pats I've talked to, and oh, his short, non-physical play. Run it up, Houston Texans. Where is Kelce? He was dancing 2 hours before the game. And then I guess he wrote this about Tyreek Hill. Run it up, karma's a mother effer. You beat your kid and broke his arm. Eat it, 21-0, a-holes. And the dream.
Yeah, he was a professional football player for many years. Like, there's not a lot of people that get to do that. I don't care if he was a practice squad player. I mean, like, that never goes away.
And by the way,
you know how much money he makes? Not here at the radio station, he's middays. I'm just kidding. But how much money he makes just being Scott Zolak because he played for the Patriots?
Of course. And on top of that, and this is something that Scott Zolak obviously knows way more about football than I will ever even attempt to know. But is Kelce known as a non-physical tight end?
I don't know.
Like, is this something that, because I'm just, to the point where he gets called out for it?
I don't know.
Now
that Gronk is gone, he's widely considered the best tight end in football.
He's not Rob Gronkowski, but who's Rob Gronkowski? What's his name? Kittle's really good. I love Kittle.
It's either him or Kittle. Yeah. 1-2.
Those guys are, they're over the top physical. They stand out, they're beasts. But I mean, as far as like your average tight end, I never thought of Kelce as being like a wimp. Like someone like, you know, we used to talk about Demaryius Thomas that way, where Demaryius Thomas was non-physical. I never really thought of him that way, but I mean, I could be wrong. But just the fact that I don't know what Kelce ever did to Scott Zolak, but he went all in on him yesterday. And he's kind of a douche, so I could see why you would, you know, want to bust his balls.
Yeah.
But that was pretty, it was fairly intense.
Did you see when the kid from Central Michigan, the number one pick, Fisher, the lineman?
Yes.
Took the beers?
No, I did not see
that. Yeah, I think it was after that touchdown to Kelce.
Okay.
Yeah, and some dude jumped in the stands, and Fisher took the two beers and started, like waving in the air. And I was thinking, I'm like, after, because they're right in the front row of the end zone, so that is not an easy task to get another beer.
No.
I assume that you would get, like, you would be excited because the team he'll, like, grab, you know, like, you're involved in it in some way. But then you got to schlub it back up to get more beers.
Yeah.
But I found it interesting that, like, Dan makes a good point if it was third quarter. No, that was second quarter. But if I took two beers from the stands and poured them in my mouth, would I be, like, kicked out of the game?
I don't see why. What rule did you break? You know what I mean? Like, what rule did you break?
Because that would be my touchdown celebration every time.
Just grabbing a beer from someone in the crowd and pulling a what's his name? Who's the guy at the guitar? Zach Wilde?
Because they don't know that you're going to grab the beer. So the chance
Stone Cold Steve Austin? Just
yeah. They referenced that. They referenced that like eight times during that thing.
I'm with you. But the thing is, though, you don't know who you're getting it from.
Well, my point is this, is that on the floats during the parades, people can wipe their bottoms with the beers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally.
Because they know they're going to throw it to you. But if you go into the stands, I guess you could get hepatitis.
But what if you had, like, someone wait right in there? Like, you know, like a prop guy. You had your own, like, dude standing there with a beer.
What if you had a Truly? What if you had a beer and you had put it in the, like, goalpost?
Well, that's like Joe Horn, remember?
Yeah, when he got the cell phone. How much cooler would that have been if he took a beer out and then opened it and just chugged it?
It would be the greatest touchdown celebration of all time.
It would be the greatest touchdown celebration of
because
all time.
Because already, in my opinion, the Joe Horn one is where they put the cell phone in there. But if it was a beer and you chugged it, it'd be the greatest.
Especially, like, if you can't, like, get in trouble. I mean, you'd get in trouble. You'd get a big fine. But and then you get the flag. Ryan, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
I just want to comment on that linebacker that he actually slammed two beers together and then dumped it over his head like Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yes. And it was not a linebacker. It was Fisher, who is the number one pick in a draft and has been a disappointment throughout his career.
Oh, I love it. I'm watching it now. I didn't even see it when it happened for some reason. Because he's behind, like, the dude who jumped into the crowd.
Well, they showed it 85 times because there was a replay, of course, to see if Mahomes had crossed the line of scrimmage. So there was 55 replays of it.
He said, I'm terrified of a dip spittoon. Totally. Which I accidentally drank one of those.
My dad used to put his cigarettes out in Faygo cans, and there were more than one occasion I picked up the Faygo can and drank it just to find cigarette butts.
My older brother used to drive me to places, and he used to dip, and we'd have the same cup holder. There'd be one here and one behind it, and I accidentally grabbed his and got a mouthful of it, and it's the worst. It's nightmarish how gross that is.
When I took the... basically the month off from drinking, I so badly wanted to dip.
Oh, dipping. I didn't realize how much dipping gets you high.
It gets you high.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, if I could just dip.
what a bad move. Oh, man. I almost fainted the first time I dipped. I dipped when I was like 16, I think, for the first time.
We used to dip like when we were... I smoked cigarettes starting when I was 12, but until I was like... 39. And but we used to dip. Yeah, and that was like doing drugs.
Yeah.
Like it gets you like, if I dipped right now, I would pass out. I would fall on the ground. I'd get dizzy and fall on the ground because I haven't had tobacco in that long.
There's no question. There's no question. I remember seeing like white when I did it. Like,
yeah.
I almost passed out.
Yeah, because that nicotine goes right into your system. All right, we will be back, Rich. What will we have in the stack for everybody?
Antonio Brown is once again secretly recording people and putting it on the internet.
That is highly elite.
Mm-hmm. On top of that, if you didn't hear it earlier in the show, the reason you should be rooting for Mike Vrabel.
Antonio Brown, by the way, doing War of the Roses as we speak because he does a fake radio bit. All right, here are the headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Stack. 985 to Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what is going on in the world?
Well, we played this earlier, but it's worth giving it another spin. Mike Vrabel and his team, they did what really no one thought they would do, and that was upset the Ravens. Man, what a ridiculous game that was to be able to hold that offense to 12 points. And Lamar Jackson looked human in that. And as a matter of fact, this was kind of funny, too. After the game, you know, it was such a weird place to be. Everyone thought that they were going to end up moving on. And matter of fact, they were the favorites to go to the Super Bowl, weren't they? Like, the odds-on favorite to win the Super Bowl, I believe, were the Ravens up to that point where, well, their cornerback of the Ravens, Marlon Humphrey, after the game said, well, the Ravens have an identity, and Ravens fans don't like what he said.
No, it's not just Lamar, I think. I think honestly, the sad reality of it is, you know, this Ravens team, you know, we've been here 2 years in a row and we've lost. So I think, you know, you got to look yourself in the mirror. And I think it's this team right now, his identity is to get the playoffs and choke. And just, you know, it is what it is. That's just the hard truth.
If you're a Ravens fan, you want to hear that this morning. And I know there's a bunch of, like, people who are Baltimore fans who are like, this guy sucks. How dare you just say that, you know, this team's a bunch of choke. Dude, you did. And you're calling yourself out. There's no better example of a team choking than what they did this weekend. And especially when you look at, you've got a pattern now. You got two in a row where you did the exact same thing. You went in, not to this extent, not to where everyone thought you were going to the Super Bowl, but still, you get in there in the first round, boom, you get knocked out. And good for him for saying that. I would think if I was a fan of the Ravens, I would want to hear one of the players say that. Because you can't fix it unless you can identify that this team has an issue and it needs to be dealt with. So after the game, there was an interesting moment where Mike Vrabel was meeting some of his players as they ran into the locker room, high-fiving him, giving him hugs, and there were a bunch of them that were pointing at his crotch and yelling stuff as he was going in there if you were watching it on television, and you're saying, why is that happening? Well, there's an interview from last year on a podcast that has been dug up of Mike Vrabel saying what he would do if this team won the Super Bowl.
If we win a Super Bowl and I'm playing for you still, will you get my name tattooed in your body?
Your name? No.
What would you do?
I would do something if you wanted to make a bet.
Matt Neely. Yeah, he's shaking his head. Matt Neely said he would cut off his
for a Super Bowl.
For a Uno Super Bowl. And I said, and I have no problem saying, no, I wouldn't do that.
Would you cut your off for a Super Bowl?
Oh. Been married 20 years. Yeah, probably.
You've got three.
As a player. I guess we'll be married for 20 years one day.
Would you? If you came home holding a bag of ice, and Jen was like, oh, honey, what'd you do?
She'd be like, I thought you already got fixed.
I made the ultimate sacrifice.
I had to cut my dick off, honey. We're going to win a Super Bowl. She'd be like, eh, all right. Or would she be upset?
She'd probably be on board.
She would be like, do you want me to do it? Do you want to do it now?
I made the ultimate sacrifice.
She's like warming up a knife in the fire, getting ready to go.
So when all those players were yelling at Mike Vrabel as they were coming into the locker room, as they were pointing at his crotch saying, that piece is coming off. So I'm wondering if, as I was saying before, if that's going to be the new play Gloria for the Tennessee Titans t-shirts that say that piece is coming off. Eh, who knows? But either way.
He has to do it.
Well, I mean, it's legal. I think it's binding.
Yeah.
If they win, he has to, I believe...
You have to marry your mother-in-law.
You love your mother-in-law. And then, of course, Antonio Brown, who we had Jerry Thornton earlier, and he agrees. This has been just one of the weirder seasons that I can remember in Patriots, you know, for the Patriots recently. And Antonio Brown continues to do the things that got him in trouble in the first place, like recording people without their permission. He has a brand new rap album that he's dropping. I don't know if it's an album or just a couple of videos that he's throwing out there. But he has a new song that's called Back from New Orleans. And it is about his little audition that he did for them. Home from the N.O. is what it's called. And do you remember when he ended up getting the call from New Orleans to come and work out for them? And they were like, hey, listen, we don't want to turn this into like a circus sideshow. And when he showed up, there were a bunch of people with video cameras and he brought this whole posse of people. And they said it was like a complete cluster F when he showed up. Well, now we know why. It's because they were filming this video. The first voice that you are going to hear here, other than Antonio Brown's, is his agent, Drew Rosenhaus. This is the phone call. And he recorded it and put it in this rap video of his agent talking to him about Sean Payton wanting him to try out for the team.
You know, to me, AB, I think it's more important
than the economics is getting back on a team and playing for the Super Bowl. They'd like to know you before they offer us a contract.
And they want to take you through a little workout because they have a great team and they want to make sure you can sit in. You know, they want to meet with you and make sure it's not going to be, you know, a distraction or an issue. And they want to see where you're at. If the meeting goes well, yeah, they want to sign you.
I just got home from the NO. Sean Payton talking about the dildo. Black T walking Johnny Bravo. 940 loaded with them hollows. I just got home from the NO. Sean Payton talking about the dildo.
Talk about the dildo.
Black T walking Johnny Bravo.
Johnny Bravo. He's a big Birdie Bunch fan.
Workout just sound good. Then teams can sign me. I ain't got to be working out. Working out for what? We in shape. You want to sign me? How you doing? We ain't signing, so what we talking about?
So good, though. We coming back stronger. We coming
What's going on? Okay. I don't know why Sean Payton's talking about the dildo. But
I thought he said good-o.
But he's also talking about Johnny Bravo, who had a very short music career.
Did he really?
One hit wonder.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, not even a hit. I mean, he realized that the phoniness of the entertainment industry, the music industry.
Sure.
They were just using him as a product.
I just love at the end how he's trying to act all tough, going, well, if you sign me, you don't. And, well, they didn't.
No.
I think they have an answer. I don't think you're telling anybody anything. I think their decision has already been made.
Yeah. That is a ship that has sailed.
Yep, yes, it has. Well, a ship that may not have sailed for Tony Romo would be the just mountains of cash that ESPN is willing to throw at them. I know I had a story earlier last week that mentioned that ESPN wanted to steal him and bring him to Monday Night Football away from CBS because I believe this weekend was his final game of his contract. And now that he is a free agent, we now have an idea of the type of money that ESPN wants to pay him. They want to make him the highest paid broadcaster in the NFL at anywhere between $10 million and $14 million a year. That is more money per year than he ever made as the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. $8.5 million was his highest salary as a quarterback. And
I mean,
that's the greatest
job in the world. Oh. I mean, you probably have a little bit of responsibility outside of the football season, but I mean, they're going to put in his contract that he can go play stupid golf. So, I mean, that for that limited amount of work, that kind of money, that's a dream job.
Well, I mean, you said it. They're saying a legitimate reason that he might take this gig is because he would be able to play in those tournaments that are on Sunday because it's Monday Night Football. And if you're Tony Romo and you can have your pick of the litter. Now, was this story leaked by Tony Romo's camp in order to get CBS to pony up a decent amount of money? Maybe. But I would also say that if I'm ESPN, I'm making that move. You got problems right now in that Monday Night Football booth.
You don't like Booger McFarland?
Booger McFarland just does nothing for me. And I'm telling you, I used to not mind Joe Tessitore until somebody said he sounded exactly like Sarge. And now he is Sarge. It's like you can't tell the difference between their voices now. Sarge is Joe Tessitore. Which I guess is a compliment towards Sarge. Maybe he should be doing big things. But
he's about to do big things. He's about to be the in-arena announcer.
No, hopefully. That would be great if they signed him. But I just think that they've got to do something. And Tony Romo, in his now 2 years of doing this, has become somebody that everybody seems to like. As a matter of fact, Fred, you mentioned or hinted at this earlier in the show. Another person that they're hoping is going to be the next Tony Romo is Drew Brees.
Yes.
So Drew Brees is somebody that, because of his possible impending retirement, many people are hot on getting him in the booth, and I guess that he's got that thing, too. I mean, everyone already likes him. His Q rating, I'm sure, is through the roof. I'll tell you, I just think that we all missed out on a huge possible moment when Jay Cutler was going to end up being a color analyst.
Yes.
Like, I mean, when I heard they were signing, like, are you crazy? Like, the guy who just has, like, no, like, seems like he's got, like, zero personality, just wants to sleep all the time, it looks like. Well, smoking Jay Cutler, and yet everyone would go, no, dude, he's great. The guy's, like, really funny. Like, we were robbed that chance to see that work.
Well, Drew Brees brings in the mole crowd.
Right.
I mean, everyone with a facial mole just comes in immediately and rallies around. And that's a good 50% of the population.
By the way, getting to watch this weekend, it's, I mean, Ian Eagles is great. And I know we've had him on the show a bunch, but he's like such a solid number two guy, like Ian Eagle. And I it was great that he got one of these big games. I'm glad that he was awarded that, I guess.
Not great that he has to, you know, carry Fouts around like
Fouts
an anchor.
Sucks. Like, I there's
well,
not...
Fouts doesn't watch the game.
Yeah, well, Fouts is just watching a different game during the game.
Yeah.
Like, he comments on things that just didn't happen.
There's no way that's pass interference, Ian. No way.
Is there a...
Defensive back tackles the wide receiver.
I mean, I can't think of a bigger discrepancy of talent between, like, two broadcasters than those guys. Like, that is very, very, very odd to watch. Because Ian Eagle's just a pro. Like, he's kind of like, you know, almost like a Mike Gorman type dude. Just, you know, he's perfect, consummate professional. And then Fouts is just, like, tasting colors. He's, like, you know, looking straight into the sun.
Yeah, Fouts is not exactly paying attention to all the games. All right, we'll find out what's going on with Zolak and Bertrand in just a minute.
The games are only half of it. Hatcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. They're talking movies here in studio.
Well, Hardy was just saying that he's on the exact same movie schedule as I am because we both saw Once Upon a Time in Hollywood for the first time this morning.
And I am so much now more looking forward to The Joker after your review, Frank. Like Rich, I haven't seen it yet.
I know.
And that's going to be like next weekend.
Yeah. Well, that's what Big Nate said, too. Like, hey, Hardy.
Oh, yeah. You want to move?
One of our best interns. We got a new intern.
Yeah. I got a movie.
Can I suggest a movie? Joker.
I haven't heard anything about it.
I thought it was. It's not a bad movie. I just thought it was funny.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, though, was, I mean, it was really good. Like, all the bad reviews that I saw of it, I'm like, I don't get it. How do you not just smile when you're watching this movie?
Yeah, it's like, I mean, even the parts that aren't, like, there's definitely Tarantino moments that are just like, holy crap moments. But there's the parts that aren't
two whole
are
scenes
pleasant.
You just eliminate and cut the movie by 20 minutes. But whatever, that's Quentin Tarantino. You know what you're getting into.
Sure. And it also is the one of his movies that I think had the least amount of masturbatory dialogue. Because even in his great movies, there's a couple scenes where you're like, all right, well, that's just, you can hear Quentin Tarantino's voice. Like, it's not the characters, it's him talking about comic books or something.
Right.
Yeah, good flick. Real quick, Jerry Thornton, who's in studio, I wanted to plug this. He has a show, stand-up show, Saturday the 18th at Victory Point in Marina Bay with Jimmy Dunn. He was in studio, so I wanted to make sure I got that plug in. Hello, gentlemen.
Good morning.
How was your weekend?
Well, after Saturday night, and I didn't predict it. I kind of had a feeling that Baltimore was going to get pumped. Mm-hmm. I don't know how we would have kept up with Kansas City yesterday.
Yeah, I mean...
So could you imagine if, okay, say you had, you know... Had a chance there where Baltimore, the number one seed, loses, and maybe you could host if you won, and you didn't. I don't think we could have stopped Kansas City yesterday.
I saw people yesterday tweeting that. It was like, all they had to do was beat Miami. The team just wasn't good enough.
Yeah, that's what I tweeted. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Not good enough.
Yep. And then you go out there and you get your teeth kicked in. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep.
And Vrabel's going to cut off his penis.
Vrabel's what?
You didn't hear that? Vrabel was going to cut off his penis?
Doesn't he have to make it to the Super Bowl?
He's got to win the Super Bowl.
Win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
You can reattach it, though.
Sure, I mean, Bobbitt, as Fred was saying earlier, there was the Bobbitt situation.
And then there's the adult film with John Wayne Bobbitt where it is an hour and a half of trying to coax him into an erection.
And you actually got a Truly sponsor out of this.
I don't know, but I have a lot of Truly. And then Nick came in with it, and he immediately said, can I have a case? And I said, no, you can't have a case. You can have one of the, like, 40s. I'm not giving you the case. The case is for me.
Truly does 40s?
They're not whatever the big cans are.
No, they do sell them. Yeah.
They are like the 34.
Yeah, tall boys.
The Garden sells
like a 24.
The super big boys,
yeah.
Well, that's the super big one is the one that flew from the 300 section.
That's
right?
Not going to hit you.
Last time I was at the Garden, there was a guy next to me saying, he had one of the big Coronas. I've never seen a Corona can that big. But sold at a game.
Yeah. They have the Corona tall boys. That's right. Yeah.
That's right, baby. All right. Listen, get involved. If you're an ass man or anything else, or a leg man, woo, or feet, you can go to 985thesportshub.com. On Friday, we are having our pucks and, no, I'm sorry, our ping pong tournament, Pucks and Paddles. benefits the Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center and the Boston Bruins Foundation. You only have until 2 to get your bid into 98.5 The Sports Hub, so do that. Rich and I are very affordable.
Mm-hmm.
Wallach is not on there. They didn't even bother this year. They said, who wants to play with a half-deaf kid? But nonetheless, that is what happened. Everyone have a wonderful day. That'll do it for us. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.